and I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm blacker than black, and I'm
great things can only come out of struggle. There must be pain, there must be strife in order for something beautiful to be produced. I care about my people and our future just like you care about your people and your future. I understand where you're coming from, and you need to understand where I'm coming from. It's better to win than it is to be morally right. It is much better to have power and to pursue one's ends. That is, the beauty and flourishing of the white race is an end in itself.
People of European descent have been at war with themselves since they lived in the ice. The idea of a race war, it's here.
Non-white people say that white people are conducting a race war against them? This is absurd.
Say again.
The race war against black people has been going on ever since we've been in this country.
It's almost as if law enforcement officers killing black men, unarmed black men, non-aggressive black men who are not threats, is legal at this point.
My position is basically that there is already in place a white supremacist ruling class, that they want to have straight up and clear white supremacist domination.
I think we should have more white privilege. White privilege, no question, exists. I think we should intensify it. We should have more of it.
What we're seeing now with this current administration is just what white folks been thinking all along. They just got somebody in a place of power who will say what they think.
For those that are living that type of life, this is the only path.
If white people continue at their same rate, if they encourage non-white immigration, if they dare not speak out against interracial marriage, then whites will disappear.
It's not a race war that's developing. It's been there. We've just been blind.
The history of the world really is the history of the white race. Who's going to win this race war? We are going to win.
Are you ready?
Get ready. It's time for a big exclusive with Valerie Denise Jones. Welcome to the show.
Hello, 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 guys. Welcome to Big Exclusives. I am Valerie Denise Jones. I am having one hell of a day. I'm really, really excited that God blessed me this morning. He woke me up. And so because of that, I prepared for a better than great day. I wish the same for you, and I hope that you are prepping for a beautiful week. Yes, God, yes, God. All right, so we have got a great show for you today. We're going to talk about a very controversial topic, a topic that has been explored one gazillion times, but we're going to talk about it from a different angle with today's guest, Dwayne Hughes, better known as Spider D, former professional rapper and producer hailing from New York City. He hates being black. Yes, guys, you heard it right. You heard it here. You heard it first. He wrote a song titled I Hate Being Black, and I cannot wait to share that information with you. But until then, guys, I want to stop, take a breather, and thank everybody who is on the line with us right now, and those of you who chimed in via the chat room prior to the show, and also social media, all our international calls. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you guys to life. We also appreciate everybody who shares the link after the show, because without your support, guys, we could not do what we do, and we love doing what we do. All right, so get your non-alcoholic libations, pen and paper, and let's get ready to talk. I Hate Being Black. That's the name of the song I'm about to play. I will see you after this audio break.
I hate being black. Word up. Tired of this.
See, I was born too soon. My mama's womb couldn't hold me. Prematurely born, or that's what they told me. A Negro child born into this world. Life is hard for little black boys or girls. Opportunities are slim or none. That's right, son. Chances are you'll die by the gun or needle or be incarcerated. Or maybe if you're lucky, your beat will get crossfaded on a mixer because you a real rap star. Or maybe you'll grow to be 6'8" with a handle. But watch 5-0 because they'll blow you out like a candle, like Cornbread Earl and me. Sorry, that's a fact. That's what it is when you're black. It is what it is, and I am who I am. Do I really hate it? Let me see. Let's debate it. Yo, on one hand, I'm brown skinned, born with mad rhythm. On the other hand, I'm handicapped due to my nation's lack of inclusionism, creating a human chasm. That's a deep divide between those who have and who haven't. Let me see. Who do I wanna be? The color with all the opportunity? Or should I stay in the ghetto amongst the high violent crime community?
That's why I hate being black, cause that attracts crooked cops and laws, drug deals, mad state appeals, long sentences when you caught in a trap. For real, yo. That's why I hate being black. That's why I hate being black, cause that attracts crooked cops and laws, drug deals, mad state appeals, long sentences when you caught in a trap. For real, yo. That's why I hate being black.
Maybe if I was Chinese or Asian, my math skills would be blazing me a path to be a brainiac. Wouldn't smoke crack or sniff dope, nope. But because I'm born black, they put me in a cage. Ghetto rage, I keep a frown. Why should I smile? My life been screwed for a long while. That's why I drink cheap malt liquor. It's quicker, my hatred getting thicker. Though my president is black, I still got no green. Motown is in ruins. Is this a nightmare or a dream? Cream, cash rules everything around me. But if you black, I know you're seemingly drowning in poverty. So you start robbing me to feed your fam. Damn, it started off so good, but now you a wanted man. If you was in trading places, would you be Dan Aykroyd or Eddie Murphy? If you had the choice, would you be the pilgrim or the turkey? Young black males being shot down like deer. Licensed to kill us and then go drink a beer. Hear me when these words I say. I hate being black. Black then, now and today. I hate being black.
Hope you enjoyed the audio. I am Valerie Denise Jones. You are listening to Big Exclusives, 929-477-1167. That number should already be locked in your phone. If it's not, go on and do that now. Also, tell a friend who will tell a friend that we are here every Tuesday and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yes, we do the darn thing twice per week. We do what we do for you. So at this time, what I want to do is go on and open up Fida D's mic, 347-709-347-709. Welcome, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Valerie?
I am blessed and favored. Yes. How's your energy right now?
You know, I'm my usual laid-back self. I'm sorry, audience. I'm an introvert. I'm a laid back Pisces, and you know, after all of this time in the music business, I'm still that.
All right, yeah, you really are laid back, because I was actually I vetted you via your Wikipedia page, right? And even in it characterized you as being laid back, humorous, skilled on the microphone, you know, and then all these other wonderful things. But yeah, I have never seen such. I don't know, but it's like, yeah, it describes you as a laid back dude. So I guess that's just what, you know, everybody
I'm going to pick it up just for you. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to pick up my energy level just for you. How about that?
Mi casa es tu casa. No. I want you to act like you normally do. Because, you know, you told me you were going to give me some juice. We're going to have some fun. We have some, you know, just a great old time before we bring in Philo the Great. And then he's going to do his thing as it relates to your music. And so, yeah. But I want to just read a few more lines from the Wikipedia page because it says here that you're currently working on, well, you know what? This must be a little dated because it says you're currently working on your autobiography. You work out of your home in your recording studio. You have a recording studio in your home. And you're working on a few rap albums entitled Legendary in honor of the people you have worked with over the span of your career. So bring us up to date. Let us know how dated that is as it relates to the book and your music, and also your relationships with the people that you've worked with.
Well, you know, that's dated. I try not to look at those things, one, because I don't know who writes them, and two, just, you know, unless somebody's following me around, they would have to keep updating it, because I try to keep busy. Currently, I'm working on the audiobook version of the song that the audience just heard, which is titled I Hate Being Black. And I came up with that title and that song one night in my basement recording studio. And I'm not really sure what prompted it at the time, but, you know, I have been black all my life.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because I think it was I figured you were inspired by something during the Obama era. So something triggered something, and then you ended up putting pen to paper and then the song, correct?
Well, you know, I think part of it is growing up in New York and seeing some of the things that I saw growing up gave me what they call the angry black man syndrome. And and then because by nature I'm an introvert, when you couple those things together, I'm not knocking it because I love to be who I am and I can't apologize for it. But I noticed that I tend to write darker songs than most. And I guess
when you're in a certain mood, is that what you're saying, or because you're an introvert?
No, I stay in a certain mood, unfortunate. And
okay.
And you know, I just tweeted this the other day. I think what has motivated me throughout my life has been anger. So I've learned to take anger and channel it into a positive, and I may have gotten into the habit of coming up with things to make me angry because it motivates. You know, when I was younger, I'm 5'9", and I've been 5'9" forever. So I was a basketball player in New York City on the playground, and I'm going up against guys 6, 7, 8 inches taller than me most of the time. 100 pounds heavier, and they used to try to bully me. They used to try to push me around. They used to try to hurt me, and that angered me. And when I got angry, I kicked butt. I was for my size, I was unstoppable. But that would only happen after somebody would elbow me in the jaw or knock me into a steel pole, you know, something to try to hurt me and anger me. And I started noticing around maybe when I was about 15 years old that when I got angry, I played better. So somehow that started filtering into all of my life, you know? Teacher pissed me off.
Okay.
I get a 95.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to slow it down just a little bit because I want to really, you know, get in your head. We had some pretty specific conversations outside of, you know, the show, and you just mentioned that you're a Pisces. I want to start there, and then I want to I looked up introvert, so I want to share with people what we're learning about you. So, according to Google, a Pisces man, personality traits and characteristics, powerfully emotional, intuitive, creative, and caring. The Pisces man is sensitive and often your most trusted friend, often exceptionally attractive. His most enduring traits are his humility and love of romance, such as you're totally enamored by fairy tale love. Is that your case? So what's going on? I don't even know if I know a Pisces.
That's like almost me to a T.
Okay. All right. And then as an
that's
introvert,
very accurate.
It's a it says as an introvert, it describes a person who tends to turn inward mentally, sometimes avoid large groups of people, feeling more energized by time alone. And, of course, is the opposite of an extrovert who finds energy in interactions with others. So, yeah, very, I guess one kind of complements the other, huh? Pisces and introvert. Okay, all right. Well, I learned something on air, and people know I love to Google while I'm on air, so I do that all the time.
Nothing wrong
so
with that.
Trust me. Yeah, you're in good hands here. So, all right, so we got that. So now we understand you're being, I mean, why you're laid back, you know, and the reason for that. Why do you hate being black? Or I know it's probably more of a, what do you call those things? I'm drawing a blank here. Help me out. It's more of a, Jesus, like were you just kind of talking but not literally? You know what I mean, right?
No,
you don't
actually
hate being black, right?
Yes, I do. I hate being black.
In America. That's
the part that I left off. But I mean, this is where I live in America, so you know, it still comes down to I hate being black, and not that I'm not proud of being black, but the things that we go through as a people on a daily basis that don't necessarily happen to other people. Let me give you an example. And it's really a sad example. Hello?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost you. My brother's youngest son is right now laying in a hospital paralyzed.
Oh, and I'm sorry to hear that.
The reason why he's paralyzed is because some cops chased him. He tried to climb a fence to get away from them. They tased him while in the air on the fence. So he fell defenselessly and broke his neck in three places.
Oh, wow.
And the overriding reason why that happened is because he's black. So when I wrote the song and subsequently the book, I was citing others' examples.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I am finishing up the new second edition, the expanded second edition, I now have to add this as the prime example of why I wrote the song in the first place. Because this doesn't happen to other people, not with the regularity that it happens in Black America, in the United States. It's I could cite, and if anyone cares to read the book, there's no conjecture in the book. There's nothing made up. It's all facts. And so I guess being very observant at a young age, it kind of darkened me. And then I'm naturally an introvert. So over the years, that became my personality, and it's reflected in a lot of my music.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Well, one thing,
because
I want to, I always like to look for little nuggets. So as to educate, you know, our listening audience, because we have a lot of young people who tune in, and yeah, like a lot of, I told you about our post-production game, and so we have like all these different people from all over the world who tune in to the to our platforms, and it's like, oh my gosh, I hope that they can get something out of it, because there's this thing that exists in America called mental health and depression. That's one form of self-hatred, and I want to make it very clear that that's not what I get from you. That's not what I'm sensing. I think that because of, you know, certain things that have happened to you, I'm trying to think of the word, it falls under more of an ethnic self-hatred. You know what I mean? I just had to look it up because I was looking for something specifically. And we're so way off topic. I promise I'm going to bring us back. But I want to talk about your book and also, you know, other aspects of the song. But there's this thing called autophobia, and it has a lot to do with cultural classification. And it's just like, you know, I get this whole sense of why people want to make America great again, and then their tactics, and you know, just how they break things down systemically, and you know, which as a result breaks us down. Do you know what I mean? So it's just like I sort of get it. Sometimes it's like I don't hate being Black, but I hate having to walk outside and sometimes feel Black. Not that I hate being Black, but it's I don't like the prejudices and the disorders and the, you know, just the mentality sometimes that's linked to it. And you said something that I don't often hear men say, and that's being an angry Black man. Me, if you have like a, you know, you're just kind of dazing off, you're not really smiling, whatever, the first thing they'll say is, oh, are you angry? Are you mad, upset? So it's just moments like that when it bugs me when I'm being passionate or something. Someone will misconstrue that as anger. But outside of that, yeah, I wanted to tell people that your story, I definitely want to encourage them to read your book. I definitely want to encourage them to go to your YouTube page. You have a YouTube page. That video titled I Hate Being Black is on your YouTube page as well as your book, which you converted into an audiobook. So is there anything else that you want to talk about as it relates to the book? And then let's talk about the ways that you're promoting your audiobook before we get into other aspects of your career. So what else about your book that you'd like for us to know?
Well, I try to put it this way. After I wrote the book, the message that I wanted to get across was for our youth, for our people in general, Black, African American, to look at it as a window. A mirror. And then I wanted white America to look at it as a window, because there's a lot of stereotypes that we do actually uphold, but there are causes and reactions to everything. It's very hard, and I'm a peaceful man, but it's very hard to tolerate some things that we go through. And again, I bring up, unfortunately, which happened a little bit over 3 weeks ago. You know, my nephew's 19 years old, and he'll never walk again. Wasn't doing anything. Somebody had called in a complaint that there were four, and I don't know what they use, the word that they used to describe my nephew and his three friends, but that they were in a vehicle. And I don't know if it was a noise complaint or they smell marijuana. I'm not sure what the caller called in that dispatched the police. But my nephew got out of the car and ran. So I say, oh, well, why did he run? His neck is broken in three places. That's why he ran. He has a fear of police just for that reason. So I can't think of a better example of why I hate being black in America. Because that wouldn't have happened to most other ethnicities like that. I mean, when you're black, you're guilty until proven innocent. So now this kid, who didn't even have any weed on him, had no weapons, has no priors, was on the football team. He can't do anything.
Right. Now, and do you think that that has a lot to do with the area that you're in? And that you're in, we had a conversation on another show about police brutality being more prevalent in certain areas of the country as opposed to others. Do you think that it has a lot to do with certain regions of the country?
If you're black, you could be in Timbuktu. Well, the area that they were in is very suburban, not known for crime. But again,
okay.
If you're black, you are a criminal.
Gotcha.
The kid walking home from the store buying Skittles and juice, he was guilty of wearing a hood. But you know what? That hood made him a hood.
Mm-hmm.
And he was shot by someone that wasn't even a police.
Yeah, you're talking about Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. Yeah, that happened in Central Florida.
That's crazy.
Yeah, a few years back. Yeah, I totally get it, and I understand, and that definitely lends itself to a larger conversation. So I want to one day invite you to join me on the Judge Jerome show, because that's how we talk on Fridays. We talk about stuff like that. So I definitely want to open that up. I also want to make a correction, because the word I was looking for was not autophobia. Autophobia is actually a morbid fear of just being alone and isolated.
That ain't me.
And that got trapped in my mind as I was thinking introvert, but that's not the word I was looking for. Also, the other word I was looking for was metaphor. I was hoping that, you know, your song title was a metaphor, as opposed to truth. But now we know, because of the examples you provided, that it was actually truth based on your experiences. So I appreciate your honesty sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
All right, so what are you doing to promote your book and your audiobook?
Right now, not a lot. I tweet out the reviews. I'm trying to, before I go all out in promotion, I'm trying to get the audiobook version finished, because I'm really just now becoming aware of how many people listen to audiobooks on their commute into work, you know, stuck in traffic and things of that nature. Some people would rather hear the book than as opposed to reading a book, and I'm, you know, either way works. and maybe potentially hearing it coming from my voice. And I know a lot of audiobooks are someone else's voice, but and somebody suggested that to me, I'm like, no, because the emphasis mm-hmm. on certain words and views won't come across like it was written because you're not hearing it from me. So what I plan to do when I finish the audio book is to do a some type of tour, especially in the historically black colleges, because we need to know things that we do that sort of perpetuate a stereotype, and you're putting your own life in danger when you do so. So in my nephew's case, oh, he's running. He must have a gun, or he must, whatever ran through these officers' minds. But, you know, because from what I'm understanding is that they tased him once, and then they were trying to mm-hmm. grab him while on the fence, and then they tased him again. Now, they had to know when they tased him again, he was going to lose his grip and fall defenselessly to the ground. And the result is my athletic nephew can't even move a pinky. And I'm getting angry about it, so I'm going to leave it alone. But that's why I hate being black.
Yeah, in America. I'm sorry to hear that.
That in position.
Well, one thing I do want to encourage you to do when you do, if you know you're fortunate enough to take it on the road, two things. Definitely, I appreciate the fact that, you know, you're heightening folks' awareness, because people need to know, especially young people who are totally oblivious as to what's going on in the real world and also lack the respect to even acknowledge what's going on in the real world because they don't respect authority, you know. So I hope that you get that message across, that there is a fine line between video games and reality. And when you die, you don't come back. So it would behoove you, you know, to make better decisions. I think a lot of young people think that we live in a, you know, yeah, some kind of virtual reality. The other thing is societal anxiety. I think that it will bring awareness to that, because I think that a lot of that does lend itself to self-hatred. I think that people do get tired of being black because they're just tired of being targeted. They're just tired of being, you know, like other people have to condescend to our level, when in most cases we are the smartest in the room. We are the most gifted, the most talented. You know, we do bring the most to the table, which makes us a threat to a lot of people. And it's really, really cool. Sad that such the case. And it could be lend itself to being, you know, an exhaustive process. So I get but I'm kind of scared.
Found out.
Okay.
Here's what I found out. I started researching Twitter because I was getting a lot of flack from people.
Okay. Like a focus group.
Well, there's a app called Mention, and with the app you tell it to look for certain things.
Mhm. How do you spell that?
On Twitter.
Mention.
MENTION. Yes.
Okay.
So I programmed it for I Hate Being Black on Twitter.
Mhm. Okay.
And you would be shocked at how many people that have never heard that record or have never read my book say it every single day. And I'm talking about young people.
Right, right.
So what that let me know is that I was tapped in to society without necessarily knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
I was tapped in.
Right. Gotcha. Well, hopefully, you know, all of that will definitely work out for you as it relates to the book and the audiobook. And I would also because me and the other host who you'll talk to here in just a second, we want to do something book clubbish, you know, audiobook type, you know, something. I haven't worked out all the kinks yet, but have people such as yourself read their books, and then we can assist the promotions and, you know, do that thing live on
live
here.
In person,
and then yeah, live not in person. All of mine are
over
like
the
audio
phone.
Platforms. Yeah, over
okay.
the airwaves, you know, during the show to read and
okay.
then to find a way to correlate between, you know, what's going on in the book and then something that's happening current day, you know, so that we can kind of discuss, have a quick discussion about whatever the reality is, you know what I'm saying, comparing the two or seeing if there are similarities or whatever. But it will definitely afford an opportunity for great promotions, plus stimulate thought and, you know, open the lines up for conversations, because I think a lot of people just need to talk. You know what I mean? Like, they need someone
to
really
just
listen and not
get their frustrations out without aggressively taking it out on people. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Because I find that a lot. I find that, you know, people, we're too sensitive, and we won't let people be. Like, for instance, I'm going to move it forward. I do wish you the best of luck. I do want to talk to you regarding the book. I think I heard you say that you had goals to self-publish. I really would like to talk to you about self-publishing, you know, during another broadcast, because that's a really, really big deal. I think a lot of people need to take control of their work, and that's that. But I wanted to talk about your hair, and because I just got a text message, it threw me off. I watched the video, I Hate Being Black, and okay, I know what I was going to talk about. So Chris Brown recently said something, and I mean, it went viral. And he said he'll only F the bees with the good hair. And I mean, like, black people lost their mind. And it's really, really sad that people can't discuss, you know, have a preference anymore, say what they want to say. People are so sensitive to the point that it could literally cost you your career. It could, you know what I'm saying? You could lose a lot of money, a lot of
right.
different things off of that. So I wanted, it's a twofold question. One, how sensitive, I mean, do you think that we should do that to each other? We should be, you know, so sensitive that people can't say and feel what they want. And also, too, what is good hair? Because it appeared you had good hair, you know, in the video. I didn't get a close-up, but the first thing, why are we so sensitive? What brought us to this point?
We're overly sensitive.
Have we always been that way?
Yes. It's been ingrained in us through slavery. Let me give you an example. If you're a slave that's an indoor slave and you sleep in the master's house,
mm-hmm.
The chances are you're eating better. The chances are you're lighter or fairer skinned. The chances are your hair is straighter and more like the white man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what good hair is. You have good hair.
Do you have
and
good
your hair?
Hair
is not knotty and kinky.
Okay.
That's what some people.
Do you have good hair?
Viewpoint is. I have.
Huh?
I'm mixed with Cherokee Indian. So, yes, I guess you could say I have good hair because when I unbraid it, it's straight and long. And that's unfortunately
okay.
considered good hair.
Okay. All right.
Which is silly.
So you still have, like, naturally long hair. Because I don't know how old you are. But that's really good.
I cut it once about 4 years ago, and I was miserable.
Okay.
I cut it for
a
female.
To a Samson? Oh, wow. I
definitely feel stronger with it. I mean, you know.
Gotcha.
That's just
yeah.
the way, you know, it's probably mental, probably all in my mind. But, you know, your mind controls your body, so I'm going with it.
Gotcha. Totally get it. Yeah, I want to, I kind of want to move away from this, but I don't know if, Sheila, do you have anything that you wanted to add to this topic? Because I know this is something that you enjoy, because now I want to start talking about basketball and the other things that you've done, and also talk to you about, gosh, there are a couple different things on my list. I want to talk to you about your current project with Teddy Riley and also being up for a Grammy, all those different things. But, Philo, are you listening? Are you available? Did you want to add anything to the topic? Because I know we're right up your alley right now.
Well, you know, just listening in, the topic I wanted to pretty much comment on was, you know, I hate being black. And I know you sort of move past that by asking about good hair or whatever, but it's like I heard both of you all talk, and Valerie, when you first opened it up, and it sort of like took you by surprise. Do you actually mean you hate being black? And then Spider D was like, yeah, in America. And then you was like, whew, like a type situation. But then when you all started talking, I said, well, they're pretty much saying the same thing. And I think that in this country, we as a race are tired of being reminded that we're black. We're just successful. We have just as much brain power as any other race in this country. We have built this country. We have came up with the inventions that this country lives off of today. But if we, as black people, tend to get ahead, tend to grow something that's bigger than them or grow something that a white person may want, then we have to be reminded that we're black. So even with the system that
exactly.
is in place, that system in place is for us to constantly remind us that we're black. So it comes to a point to where how? Because all it does, it builds up what Spider D said. It builds up.
And it's going to come out one way or the other.
Can I ask both of you a question then? Because when people address me a certain way, because of the values instilled in me, and that's why I asked him about his environment. I was raised in Miami, so it's like a melting pot of sorts. And I know you were raised up in New York, so it's kind of, you know, and he's in the South too because he's in Tennessee. We're all Southerners. But I'm saying because of the values and always being told you're a queen, you're this, you're that, when people said anything that was adverse, I always felt like, okay, well, you can talk all you want as long as you don't touch me. So it's like the more they felt they said certain things to me, the more I loved myself. Why is it that? Is it because people physically, like in your nephew's case, where he was tased and they put their hands on him, or, you know, I don't know, the criminal system, is it because they invaded your personal space that you would say, I hate me, as opposed to loving yourself more and hating them? Like, can you guys explain the difference?
This
Why would
happens,
you care more for you and
it,
hate them
It
more?
Happens too much. It happens too much. No, because guess what? When we hate them, we're wrong. We're prejudiced. How in the hell can I be prejudiced against someone that's oppressing me? But that's what they will tell you. That will be their reasoning. Oh, you know, it's the angry black man. Yeah, I'm an angry black man. I got a reason to be an angry black man. And
but
so,
Spider-D,
what's the record?
Cases.
Don't push me because I'm close to the edge. That's how we live.
But my case
hey,
is. Wait 1 second, Philip, before I forget this. My case to you, Spider-D, is. They want to be you. So why do you hate you when they're trying to darken their skin, steal everything you got, sleep with your women? I mean, like, they want to be you, jealous of you.
Okay.
They wake up
Fair
with
question.
You on their brain. They build entire systems with you in mind. So why do you
now,
hate you?
Here's the answer. Here's the answer to that. Wanting to be me and being in my shoes will change that thought pattern. You won't want to be me after you've been chased by police, after you've been ran home from a school that's in a be the kids that were trying to enter high school way back when, and they had a mob waiting for them, and the governor of that state was standing at the door and wouldn't allow them entry. Let's see if you want to be me then. So that's all fantasy. They don't want to be me.
Basically, Valerie, what I was going to say is not the fact that I don't believe he, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Spider D, because I'm keep hearing it.
Yes, sir.
It's not the fact that I hate being black, being the race that I am. I'm not asking to be white. I'm not asking to be another color. I'm saying I hate being black in this country. If I was in another country that treated me probably better than what this country treats me, then I probably would love being black. But I'm hearing that every day I'm being reminded of the fact that I'm black, whether it's through the system, through the police, through whatever the case may be.
And we're in the 21st century. We're so far past the 50s and the 60s, but yet here we still are being treated like second-class citizens. It makes no sense, and we want to run around and dictate to other countries, telling them that their civil rights are not being adhered to. How can we talk when we're not even doing it here? How can we talk about another country when we're not doing it here? Oh, yeah, we have some liberties, but guess what? People had to die to get what was written in the Constitution that was supposed to be our inalienable right. People had to march and die and get lynched and all of that just so we could have what was supposed to be ours in the first place when we were so-called free. See, we got to wake up as a people. We ain't free. We're allowed to do a few more things, like you doing us a favor. No, your own constitution guarantees us that right. But yet we got to go and march and protest and basically act a fool for those rights. Oh, that's right. The Constitution wasn't written for us because we aren't human. We're not man. So when they say all men are created equal, guess what? We're not men.
Mm-hmm. But I just want to make sure, I want to ask you a question. So when you look in the mirror, you don't hate what you see. You look in the mirror. I mean, you just look, when you look at the world's mirror, like
no,
you said.
No, I'm kind of fly,
the
so
window.
I like what I see.
Gotcha. So I just want to make sure that people who are listening understand that, because I always want to, you know, I encourage people to love themselves. You know what I mean? Like, so I want to make sure that
myself.
That's clear, because that's what I was hearing. You hate the treatment in America, like you said. You hate what America tries to do to people of color. So it's like that's what you're saying.
I'm considered black, right?
That,
I'm considered black, right? Even though I'm brown, I'm considered black.
Right, okay.
Every day I walk out this door,
uh-huh.
I have a chance of dying or being crippled or paralyzed simply for the color of my skin. I cannot make it any plainer.
I think Martin Luther King had that in his speech, so... Hopefully a lot of young people.
And look what happened to him.
I hope a lot of young people say, well, he died, you know, saying he hoped that one
day. No, he didn't die. He
will not
murdered.
Be judged. You're right. That poor choice of words. He was murdered because of a...
Simply because of the color of his skin. That's him?
Well, see, me and you, well, you and I can go all day with this because, see, look, let me tell you something. When you said that, it again, a spirit rose up in me, and Philip, I'd like for you to engage this as well. A spirit rose up in me because, listen, they didn't kill him simply because he was black, in my opinion. I felt because of the threat he posed. Because, again, being black in America, to me, having a pride.
What threat did he pose?
It is equivalent to
power. What threat did
Look,
he pose?
He was the man who took all those people. Did you see the picture of him in Washington? Like, I mean, literally,
but
the
what
power,
threat is that?
How he could bring people together. Because you don't want to put
who is
two great minds together.
Where,
you don't want to put two
who
beautiful great minds together. It
okay.
threatens people who don't create anything. It threatens people who have to steal and kill for what
no,
they've
it
got.
It threatens people that want to keep us held down.
But that's what I'm saying. See, you,
why
we're
did,
saying
why
the same thing
now. Why
did
he have to go and rally and march people? That's what I said in the storm.
But no, no.
It's like
but
we
no, got to
go
listen,
die.
But listen, Spider, this is
no
what
sense.
I'm saying. The power. Think about the power of, I don't know if you're a spiritual person. Think about the power of the Holy Ghost, right? Right? So think about the power. They feared his power. So like when they kill Jesus in the flesh, the power was released. That's what they're afraid of. So you put two great minds together. Like if you have, remember once upon a time it was illegal, if black people couldn't even congregate together. I think the law was if two or more congregated, then that, you know, they could be arrested. So what I'm
That's
saying to you
law.
Is, I don't think it was so. I think that they hated black skin, but not to the point that they hated the power of the black man more. It's like we were better
no.
than them in
let me,
everything.
Let me refute that. Let me refute that.
Okay.
who was trying to help the black man? John F. Kennedy blew his head off. It's black. You got to understand. We are considered inferior. They don't respect the fact that we bleed and die like anybody else. They could kill us, which is why so many of us were strung up on trees like we were animals. We're animals. That's what we are considered. And
mm-hmm.
that's the point that I'm trying to make that I want my people to understand. You are not considered equal. That whole Constitution equal garbage is just that, garbage. You are not considered a man. And so this is why you have all these angry, disillusioned youth. They take their anger and they take it out on each other. And so now we robbing and killing each other. And what does that solve? You mad at the wrong person. But you know why? Because they won't go and do this somewhere else because they know their fate. So we're trapped. We're trapped in our, this is why I say we're not free. We have invisible chains.
I'm rewinding your message, preparing it for playback.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now.
I was on the Los Angeles Police Department for 20 years. I was a sergeant of police when I retired. I'm well aware that there are officers within that agency that have biases and preconceived ideas. So no, I'm not surprised to know that somehow white supremacists have infiltrated the ranks of police departments around the nation.
Race and war. There is a conflict.
We're talking about a system, the phenomenon of mass incarceration, the police killings. This is a recipe, many people argue, and I think it's true, for a new form of genocide.
The fact that it's always white people at the top and black people at the bottom, that's not some kind of psychic phenomena, that's policy.
Those are the consequences of the race war against black people.
Are we in a race war?
All right, I have an opinion on that whole subject.
You know, there's no equality. We look at the system, it's really designed for us to fail.
Are you a white supremacist?
I'm absolutely not a white supremacist. I think that's a word that should be retired. I am a white advocate and a race realist.
When I say this as a police officer, that this stuff happens, I'm not telling the black community something they don't know. I'm just validating and corroborating what they know to be true because this is their lived experience.
A lot of people like to refer to our judicial system as broken. Our judicial system is not broken. It's operating exactly the way it was designed to operate.
This nation was established by Europeans with the idea that it was going to be an extension of Europe. So whites, whether they will admit it or not, don't like the fact that their neighborhoods, their institutions are becoming increasingly non-white.
White supremacy has to do with the idea that I'm better than you. And I can, through power, through manipulation, control anything and everything as it relates to anyone else. I am God.
We're always interested in what you have to say about our live broadcasts. Please share your comments on our Facebook page or websites.